It's been about 2 months since care facilities across the state restricted visitors in an effort to protect our most vulnerable, our elderly and medically compromised seniors. We have been watching clusters break out across the country and how willing states have been to identify where positive cases are turning up. We talked to AARP Hawaii Director Kayla E. Lopez about the transparency issue. It sent a letter to the state last month expressing the need for public disclosure and for guidance for the hundreds of care homes under the state's jurisdiction as we look to how best to protect our kupuna.
Well, we had in one of the facilities, there were three cases, but they recovered. So it was three cases in one facility, and I don't know the name of the facility. And one of the things that we're trying to get is more transparency so that, you know, our understanding or awareness of these cases can be known, especially should there be a likely second wave. So as things get eased up, the potential of cases occurring in your nursing homes and such are pretty high.
No one wants to see a cluster like we saw on Maui or
exactly.
On the Big Island.
And definitely not in a nursing home, for sure.
I did see that it's really kind of a mixed bag because some states disclose, you know, where the positive cases are and other states do not.
And some states actually provide at least to the, you know, family members or on their website the information related to the nursing home themselves so that you can know whether the nursing home your family member is in has had any cases, whether it's a resident or employee.
But that's really important information to have if your loved one is in one of these homes.
Exactly. It's critical. For our purposes, one of the things that we're looking to for the governor, in the difference for Hawaii than perhaps some other locations, is that many of our Hawaii residents are in your smaller adult residential care homes. And these aren't regulated at the federal level, they're regulated at the state level. So here in Hawaii, as an example, we have almost about enough beds for 8,400 people in those residential care, foster care homes, compared to, say, maybe only 4,500 in your larger nursing homes. Nursing homes are federally regulated. So the concern is the degree to which the smaller residential care homes, they can have like maybe upwards of 5 people in some of the smaller facilities, upwards of 12 in some of the bigger ones. So the concern really is the degree to which they're being given the kind of resources and guidance to make sure kupuna are being well cared for. So that's pretty much one of the main things for us. And the concern is we haven't heard from the state what they're doing to address these issues.
There was that flap about whether or not inspectors can come in wearing their shoes or wearing booties.
So they had state inspectors visiting the residential care homes. And our concern was usually they're going from home to home. And if they're not wearing protective gear, they could unintentionally cause an infection from one location to another. One of the things that the state did require is that these residential care homes now have to provide the personal protective equipment to the inspectors when they arrive. And, you know, I think that's a good thing, but many of these smaller facilities have just a difficult time getting PPE for their use, as many of us in our homes do. So they're not a high priority in getting those resources, although we did hear from the state very recently that they are working with the Hawaii Healthcare Association to provide equipment, PPE now, to these smaller residential operations.
So we're talking masks, gowns?
Masks, gowns, booties. The state is looking at providing that through the Hawaii Healthcare Association. So the smaller operations should be able to get those items through there. I think the other thing that we're looking to with the state is some states have already set up what they are prepared to set up strike forces. So say there is an outbreak in a particular area or nursing home, is that they're prepared to go in, figure out how to relocate those individuals and, you know, move them to a facility those types of things. And so just trying to find out, you know, from our purposes, Hawaii's been very lucky in that we've had very few cases and no deaths that we're aware of. And at the same time, you know, we don't want to wait till there is a problem. And our issue is, you know, understanding proactively what is the state doing to prepare for that. The other is making sure people get tested frequently. These residential care home folks have challenges being able to get their members, get their residents out to a facility to be tested. You know, maybe we need to have a mobile service that allows the state to be able to take the testing to these residential care homes and get people tested. And then the other issue is reporting. You know, you and I talked about, you know, how many cases have there been. Other than the three cases at one facility where those folks recovered, we're not aware, and that's part of the concern. It's maybe things are going really well, or maybe we just don't know about it. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
So what kind of time frame are we approaching with the Hawaii Healthcare Association providing the PPE to those care homes?
You know, I suspect that they're probably already able to provide that. The degree to which the information has gotten out to these smaller facilities is the part that we're challenged with. One of the things that we're finding out from the state is that they have a hard time reaching out to a lot of these smaller operations because they don't necessarily have, say, email or technology. So it's, you know, it's kind of standard phone call or letters. And that's been a little bit of a frustration because we're aware of some of those smaller operations not having gotten or received guidance. So as an example, Dr. Park sent out a letter on March 25th to long-term care facility administrators, and it's unclear, or our understanding from talking to people, is these smaller operations did not get that letter and guidance. So we're going to try to help. I mean, I think the main thing on our part is we want to be part of the solution and not just raise the concern. So we're going to try to set up an opportunity for those smaller care homes to perhaps have an opportunity to talk to the state and figure out how to find ways for there to be easier, quick access to information. I think if anything, Catherine, what we've seen is people having access to the internet is no longer optional. It's just as critical a service as telephone service is considered.
You want to make sure that the kupuna aren't really isolated and that they can have some communication with their loved ones.
Exactly. Exactly. So being able to have virtual visits, having the resources available even at these smaller facilities for those types of things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who have the opportunity to use different technologies to, you know, even set up family calls where they're all on a Zoom call and talking story and being able to connect with one another. And that's, you know, that we're aware of, that's not happening or not easily available. The main thing is how do we work at getting an effective response from the state, and more importantly, so that there's guidance to these smaller facilities so that they're able to take care of the kupuna that are their responsibility.
And you're talking about the licensed care homes, but what about the unlicensed ones?
Well, that's a whole nother can of worms. You know, the degree to which information is out there on the Department of Health's website, letting people know what they should be doing for the licensed care homes is making that information readily available. And one would hope people got those unlicensed care homes took the steps they need to become licensed, but that information would be readily available to the public as well. And we're not aware of any of that being made available at this time.
Okay, but definitely more transparency and post information on the web so that if someone's got a loved one in one of these facilities, they just kind of know what the risk is.
And again, just guidance. So a good example is transfers and discharges. We're aware of situations where a resident may have gone out to a doctor's appointment or at an emergency hospital visit and then had to come back, but the care home provider had no way of knowing whether that person had been in contact or contracted the COVID-19 and didn't want to bring that person back into the home to potentially infect other residents. So they had to set something up, you know, say somewhere else in their home. It's just even guidance or support to address those issues. You know, it's one of those things that we're finding out. This is new and everyone's learning, but it's unclear where and how this is being addressed. And I realize it's difficult. You've got about almost 1,600 of these smaller operations compared to 40 plus nursing homes. But, you know, the reality is they're out there. these homes are providing a valuable service to our kupuna and their family members. We just want to make sure they're getting the guidance and resources so that they can do what they need to do to keep them safe.
That was Kaylee Lopez, Hawaii Director of AARP, which lobbies for seniors. We asked the State Health Department about the numbers provided by AARP, and we're told that there was only one positive case at Halemakua on Maui, a patient who had been transferred from Maui Hospital, where there had been a cluster, which has now been resolved. AARP says it hopes to hear back from the state about their concerns about guidance by the end of this week.